From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Welcome, everyone, to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. If you're not aware, Dr. Bernie is a revered thought leader, retired surgeon, and prolific author offering meaningful life lessons. And there's so much about him. And you're listening to Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. If you're tuning in for the first time, we are a Boston-based internet radio station, a full producing station with all the bells and whistles. You can hear us on our own station as well as Ask Alexa. You can also listen in your cars, just about anywhere, any podcast directory. Bernie Show is there, so you can listen from that medium. Well, Bernie has an excellent guest for you today. He's Dr. Bill Sears. He's a physician, cancer survivor of colon cancer and leukemia, both. He's also the author of his latest book, Help Heal Yourself from Cancer, Partner Smarter with Your Doctor, Personalize Your Treatment Plan, and Take Charge of Your Recovery. There are, in a single day, approximately 5,000 people in the U.S. that find out they have cancer on any given day. Thousands of lives are turned upside down because of the cancer diagnosis. Dr. Sears and his wife, Martha, who's an RN, help answer the daunting question of what's next for new cancer patients in their new book. The Sears, who have survived three different forms of cancer between them, wrote this book while healing from cancer themselves. Wow. So over to you, Bernie. Welcome, Dr. Bill.
Hi, Dr. Bill. I'm going to question your judgment, though. My wife, we had three kids, and I told her I wanted a daughter, and she said, no, I'm not going through this again. But I kept after her, and she became pregnant, learned she was going to have twins, and said, if it's two more boys, I'm not coming home from the hospital. And fortunately, one was a girl. But I see you're a father of eight, so I know
I'm watching your judgment. That's where I got my gray hair from, Bernie.
Right. They're sure good teachers. Actually, I know we're going to talk, but I took my kids into the operating room and everywhere else. And it's a part of your theme, just so people know that you've written a book about your experiences. Where was your title? I had it written down. Why don't you tell people, what's the title of your book?
Yes, it's Help Heal Yourself from Cancer.
Right.
And Dr. Bernie, this book was written on the job, literally.
Yes.
As I was healing from colon cancer, our first cancer, as I was healing from leukemia, and as my wife Martha was healing from breast cancer. So it was written on the job. And one of the reasons we were so passionate about this, as I learned about you, I realize you and I have so much in common.
Yes.
That we want to help people help themselves.
Right.
And make their own medicine. But I realize that cancer treatment today, in the U.S. especially, is at an all-time high. I mean, the surgery is great. The radiation therapy, the chemotherapy, those are all great. Yet there's a big gap in today's cancer treatment, and that is cancer education.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we wanted to fill in the gap.
Well, glad to have you here. And I'll ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If I said to you, draw yourself working as a doctor, what would be in the picture? Because I do this with doctors. Draw yourself working as a doctor. What would you draw?
Well, working as a doctor. And we have three of our sons are doctors.
Oh, wow.
And yes. And as you said earlier, I took them with me to the hospital. And I gave them two words that summarize it all, and that's called the helper's high. I said, no matter what job you get into, you want to go to bed that night with a high dose of what I call the helper's high, meaning that some person or many persons are better, happier, healthier, because of what you did that day. And I said, there's no other profession on the planet that can give you a high dose of the helper's high as well as being a doctor is. And that that was my sermon to my son.
All right, let me interrupt you now, see, because what shocked me years ago, two things really redirected my life. One was asking a room full of medical students, like 100 students, draw yourself working as a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Not one single I shouldn't say that. One drawing had a patient in it.
Mm.
A lady sitting in a wheelchair, and the young doctor was handing her a tissue. 99 mm-hmm. drawings showed no patients. The young doctor is sitting behind the desk with a diploma on the wall behind him. And I have to say, the first time that I did that, it blew my mind. Draw yourself working as a doctor, and there's no patient in the picture. And it's
hard
to get medical schools to change. Because I've said to some of them, put a note in with the application. When you send your application, send a drawing of yourself working as a doctor.
I know
who to admit to medical school. Yeah,
I love that. And that's why in my book we have lots of drawings, and I actually have a drawing of in a doctor's office where the patient is thinking, doctor, what can I do to help myself heal? And the doctor is thinking, what can I do to help the patient heal? So it's actually the drawing shows a meeting of the minds between the patient and the doctor.
I don't know if you're familiar with Jung's work, but when I read about his work with drawings and some mm-hmm. of his Jungians and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and others, because mm-hmm. I drew a picture for Elizabeth, and she mm-hmm. knew all about my life from this outdoor scene. I couldn't believe why she was asking me these questions. Like, mm-hmm. what are you covering up? None of our kids became doctors because they saw my pain. And I was mm-hmm. always covering it up. But to draw an outdoor scene and have Elizabeth say, what are you covering up? I said, what are you talking about? You used a white crayon on a white piece of paper to make snow on a mountain. It was already white. You added a layer. Mm-hmm. And I also, in case you didn't know it, have shaved my head. That was part of my uncovering also.
Uh-huh.
And the portrait I painted of myself is a cap, mask, and gown. That was before mm-hmm. I uncovered anything. So all these things are part of the healing process. And mm-hmm. let me give you this quote, and then I'll try to let the program be a little bit about you. This woman said to me, we were both at a workshop, and I was the only doctor in the audience. That blew my mind, too, because it was run by a physician to help with treating cancer patients. But anyway, she said, you're a nice guy. I feel better when I'm in the office with you, but I can't take you home with me, so I need to know how to live between office visits. That was her reason for coming to the workshop.
That's a great compliment
to
you.
And I went back to the office, and my partner said to me, "You're gone." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You're not the same person you were Friday. You're going to quit surgery." And he was absolutely right. A couple of years later, I quit and started support groups for cancer patients and all these drawings. It was just incredible. One of my books is The Art of Healing, where I have a few of those. But there are people who drew the devil giving me poison as chemo and others as God being the source of chemo. And guess who had all the side effects and who didn't? So you realize the mind is a powerful thing. And I have a lot of magazines in the house that were articles about me. But I love the one that says, an interview with the controversial Dr. Bernie Siegel. Because if I spoke at Yale, the audience always argued with me. What are you talking about? You don't know what the... Women with the same cancers as men live longer. You'd say, what's that about? Well, I can't die till you're all married and out of the house. That's what Mama says. See? And Dad says, I can't work anymore, so what's the point of living? I mean, it really began to wake me up to what I now call self-induced healing, that you love your life, your body gets the message. So what made you special? You know, that you felt this, wrote about it, and tell everybody about your book, because that's what I had to do also, put it in writing and put it out there. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes, and the joy of writing. And when Martha and I were writing the book, as I said, it was written on the job, we realized that the term doctor originally meant teacher.
Right.
But, you know, Dr. Bernie, it doesn't mean that anymore. It means prescriber, because doctors don't have the time and sometimes the knowledge to teach. And so what we did is we thought, okay, not only is this book going to be for the patient to help them heal, but when, say, you go in and say you get the diagnosis, Dr. Bernie, you have cancer, and you go into your first appointment, and they tell you all the things they're going to do for you, you know, the Holy Trinity, the chemo, the surgery, the radiation, all the good stuff. But then the patient says, well, doctor, what can I do? What can I do to make my own conquer cancer medicine? What can I do to help myself heal? And the doctor, there's a blank look on the doctor's face. Well, and they don't have time. So the doctor then would hand the patient our book and say, that's a very good question. You'll find all kinds of ways to help yourself heal from cancer in this book. So it saves the doctor all the time by just handing the patient the book.
Yes. And, you know, that's why I wrote my book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, because I couldn't help but keep putting all the stories together of all these people. And as I said, that's why so many doctors argued with me. You know, you don't have scientific proof. You don't have research. We're talking about individuals that are so simple. You know, in some of the medical journals where it says, you know, women with the same cancer as men live longer, talking about melanoma and other things. You know, usually the doctor at the end will discuss maybe hormones are affecting it, and that's why the women do better. They won't look at what women are living because there's a poem called Miss G. Yeah, a woman goes into the doctor's office. He finds cancer. He says, cancer's a funny thing. Childless women get it, and men when they retire, it's as if there had to be an outlet for their foiled creative fire. That's W.H. Auden, Miss G.
Yeah.
I said at Yale.
One of the,
I got,
you mentioned
wait a minute.
Drawing.
Let me finish the sentence.
Go ahead.
A doctor at Yale, out of the audience, yelled at me, just because it rhymes doesn't make it true.
Yes.
You see, and that's the problem with medicine. We've got to open up to people. Yeah.
Now, that's why I like your drawings. I love your drawing concept because we that's also a concept in our book that we have drawings. I ask some patients, I say, okay, I want you to draw your immune system army inside. Where do you think your immune system army lays? And I have them draw a picture of the blood vessel. I said, all right, just think about it. If you wanted to put your immune system, trillions of troops, tiny white cells that patrol your body and eat up cancer cells when they happen, if you wanted them to get into the bloodstream, where would you put them? The lining of your blood vessels, the endothelium. So we actually do have them draw a copy. I show them how, and we have an example in our book of the endothelium with the white blood cells coming off the endothelium and going around and actually shooting biochemical darts into the cancer cell and blowing them up. So as you say, yeah, a drawing, a picture's worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
And so, we have a lot in common there.
Do you know what colors mean and all that?
Yeah, the colors.
Yeah, that they have meaning too.
Oh, yes, yes. And, right. Mom said, put more color on your plate. Well, the color in foods are actually what fight the cancer. You know, color fights cancer. Little phrases like that is what patients also like. Color fights cancer.
But just so what I've learned, purple is a spiritual color. And literally, when people are ready to die, you'll see their name in a purple balloon at the top of the page.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a spiritual transformation. You know, and when the treatment is coming from God, that's not about I'm going to heaven, I'm dying. That's feeling secure and having no side effects because God is providing this. And the other thing I've learned is when people draw their own picture, they can't say to you, you're crazy. They're not going to. Because it's their picture you're interpreting. And one other that you can do in your office, when people come in, I say, what are you going through? What word will you use to tell me what you're experiencing? Failure. How does failure fit your life? Well, my body failed me. That's not my question. Oh, my parents committed suicide when I was a child. I must have been a failure as a child. Boom. What a change and what an amount of healing. And, and one that I always laugh at, a lady was being admitted with severe headaches to the hospital. And I asked her what the pain was like. And she said, it's pressure. I said, think about the pressure in your life and how you can alleviate it. I wasn't her doctor. I was just went into her room to help her. And so I didn't want to say, what's the pressure in your life and, you know, get personal. Think about what the pressure is and how you can eliminate it. About an hour later, a nurse came over to me and said, her headache's gone. It's her marriage. She's on the way home. She doesn't need to be admitted to the hospital now. And that's the part that impressed me. That when we look at our lives, it's not, again, about blaming yourself, but what's contributing to why you're sick at this time. And just one more story to make you smile, and then I'll be quiet for a minute. One fellow here in Connecticut learned he was going to die in a few months. So he said, I'm going to Colorado. It's so beautiful there. I want to die in the mountains. I said, all right. Go ahead, but call me for the funeral, I said to the family. I want to come out. I feel close to him. Months and months go by. No phone calls. Finally, I called the number I had for his family. It was a year or so later, just to tell them I really was annoyed with them for not getting in touch with me. When they answered the phone, who answered the phone? The person I thought was dead answered the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, oh, Dr. Siegel, it was so beautiful here, I forgot to die. And those are the things that taught me, you know, when the lawyer becomes a violinist, when he's told he has a few months to live and he wants to enjoy playing the violin. I mean, these are true stories. I don't make them up. You know, all these things where people shifted their lives and then they realized, oh, I didn't die. Yeah, but they weren't trying not to die. They were just giving themselves and their bodies a live message.
Yes, that's a great message.
Yep. And
well, we need to take our break, Dr. Bill and Bernie. Everyone out there, you're listening to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. You can hear his show every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want to get in touch with Bernie, you can go on his site. It's BernieSiegelMD.com. Bernie Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L-M-D.com. And Bill, do you have a website?
Yes, it's Ask Dr. Sears, AskDrSears.com.
And Sears is S-E-A-R-S for those listening. All right, so we'll be back in a moment, everyone. Don't go away.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Calling all authors! Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to DreamVision7Radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. You're listening to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. His guest today is Dr. Bill Sears. He's an MD physician, cancer survivor, and author. We're talking about his new book, Help Heal Yourself from Cancer, Partner Smarter with Your Doctor, Personalize Your Treatment Plan, and Take Charge of Your Recovery. And if I may ask you this question, Dr. Bill, with leukemia, it's quite challenging to heal from that. Was it mind-body connection? Was it nutrition, visualization, or all of the above? And I know cancer loves sugar, so did you delete sugar from your diet?
Well, it was, as you say, it was all of the above. And
okay.
the first thing I learned, step one, was believe you will heal. I had a lot to live for. 8 children, 15 grandchildren. I was still in medical practice. And I had a lot to live for. So believe you will heal. It's called the belief effect. And it's the greatest mystery in medicine. But while we know, believers heal better. And here's what I think happens, is when you say to your immune system, your army inside, your cancer army, your anti-cancer army, as Dr. Bernie mentioned, we have our own army inside. We make our own medicines. But when you say, okay, army, I believe you will heal my cancer. I believe in you. And I send biochemical text messages to that army that says, okay, go get those cancer cells. I believe in you. So the first thing was the belief effect. That really helped. And then the next thing I realized is I needed to exercise more. All right. I said, well, what does exercise have to do with healing cancer? Well, your immune system army, much of those troops, the white blood cells that fight the cancer, are stationed in the lining of your blood vessels. So, like our mother used to say, my favorite doctor, Dr. Mom, used to say, go outside and play. when we move, run, dance, swim, walk briskly, when we move, the blood flow goes faster over our army on the lining of the blood cells, and it's like the blood flow grabs the troops off the lining of the artery. The medical term for that is demarginating. And it grabs the troops and say, okay, come on and follow the blood flow, and let's go around the body and kill those cancer cells. So that's what happens when you move. And another mystery, what's great, is outdoors. Like I will say to my patients when they come in for anything, say, well, how many hours per day do you spend moving outdoors? I say, well, what's that got to do with my cancer, Dr. Bell? We know that moving outdoors, sunshine therapy, exercise physiologists call it movement outdoors is like exercise squared. Something healing happens when you go outside and play. And the food, too. I call it my rule of twos. I would eat twice as often, half as much, and chew twice as long. Mm-hmm. So my blood sugar was steady. See, cancer cells love spiking blood sugar. So I wanted to be Dr. Steady blood sugar instead of spiky blood sugar. So that was just sort of a whole plan that I did to help myself heal. And after 5 years, I just got the report about 2 weeks ago that my blood test showed no leukemia cells at all. At all.
Beautiful.
Well, it's boring me because it's like listening to myself. I ran a marathon when I was 70.
Good for you.
Talk about keep going. Yeah, one of our sons ran with me. I was smart enough to go to Cape Cod where it's nice and level.
Yes.
But he ran ahead after a while. And it was funny because he started telling people, you'll see my father, he has a shaved head, this kind of outfit on, and tell him, hurry up, Bernie. Come on, Bernie. Keep going, Bernie. And boy, did that get me. You know, I'm running 20 miles with everybody in the, you know, around the track yelling at me, "Come on, Barney," because they knew it was me. And I learned later that our son, he would stop and tell people, you know, about his father following him. But,
it's such a pleasure,
listening to you, because you're speaking the truth. I've learned it's the truth. You've learned it's the truth. And how people feel about themselves and not taking hope away. You know, that we change our chemistry with our thoughts. That's something you know, you're, in a sense, saying. Monday morning, we have more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses. Why? Because people don't like what they're doing. But if Monday, if you loved your job, your immune system, you know, your hormone levels, everything is going to be altered in a healthy way. And people have to understand that. Our thoughts are communicated to our body. Oh, let me tell you, it's hard to stop telling stories about patients. Woman had polio as a child, didn't like her body because of the muscle loss. Developed a neurological disease as an adult. She called me to say, "I got a story to tell you," because everybody expected her to die. She said, "I'm expecting to die, but I didn't want to die not liking my body. So I lay down naked in front of a mirror and started loving my body. I would start at the toes and go up an inch at a time all the way to the top of my head." And she went into complete remission and didn't die. And boy, I can tell you, that's one thing I do, like every night. I fill my heart with love, and I pump it out to all the organs, including the heart. And you can feel a difference in your body.
Oh, absolutely. But you feel the difference. When I get up in the morning, that's why I tell patients, you know, I give them little things to write, as you mentioned. And one is in bed, "Stay and stew is bad for you." So as soon as you wake up, look outside, and the first thing you want to think of is, no matter how life sucks, we all have a few things to be thankful for. So when I get out of bed, I look out the window, first thing I do, and I say, "Thank you, God, for my life, 83 years. Thank you for my wife, 57 years. Thank you for my health, cancer survivor, times two. Thank you for my wealth, 8 kids. Thank you for my MD. Please make it my ministry." I take a deep breath. Bring on the day. You know, it's just the way we start the day programs the mind. Another little handout I give my patients, I call it, "Where attention flows, brain tissue grows." Where attention flows, brain tissue grows. So the more positive thoughts you have, like I mentioned, "I am thankful for," the more positive thoughts you have, you are growing your brain garden, the center in your brain that is positive, and you're shrinking the sad center. And I give them another little handout, says, "Positivity promotes longevity." So it's amazing how mind over cancer, Dr. Burney, is so important that you have in your writings also.
Monday morning, we have more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses. If everybody loved what they're doing, you'd have fewer on Monday morning. But most people don't. And let me say this, too, because I had wonderful parents. You know, they're doing what we're trying to do for others. Because their motto is, when I'd come home from school and say, "Ma, I had a horrible day. Everything went wrong. God is redirecting you. Something good will come of this." "Ma, did you hear what I said?" "Yes." "God is redirecting you." And I thought, my mother is neurotic, but I learned she isn't. You don't know what the future will bring. Right. And then I'd say, "Ma, I had a wonderful day, you know, but I don't know what to really do to follow up on it. Do what makes you happy." "Ma, how am I supposed to know what will make me happy?" "Do what makes you happy." Yeah. You know, like, let your heart make up your mind. That was something sure. I would say to cancer patients.
Yeah.
And the other, which really gives people meaning. Mm-hmm. Father's father died at 2B when he was just a kid, leaving six kids, a wife, and, you know, no money or anything. And my dad, I heard him one day say, one of the best things that happened to me was my father dying when I was 6 years old. That night I said to him, what kind of bullshit is that? You went through hell. He said, yes, but it taught me what was important about life. We're here to help one another.
And yes, my mother did the same thing. My mother was a single mom, and my dad took off when I was young. And that's what my mother kept saying. You know, you can't control situations, but you can control your reaction to them. And Mom mm-hmm. was right, and I see that in my office. As soon as I say to a patient, now do you realize, Joe, that inside your body you have your own pharmacy? You have a pharmacy inside your body that you can make your own medicines. We play show and tell. I show them pictures with the endothelium, the line of your blood vessels, spewing out 26 different medicines. You know, medicines that lower the highs, like high blood pressure, high blood sugar, high blood cholesterol. Medicines that heal the hurts, anti-inflammatories. Medicines that help you feel good, antidepressants. And as soon as I say that, it gives them hope. Oh, I have a pharmacy inside my body? Yes, you do. And this is part of being a doctor, giving the patient hope that they will heal, but also giving them self-help tools. All right, here are the pills I'm going to give you, but here are the skills that you need to give yourself.
Right. I got to add one more thing. I operate on a landscaper.
Mm-hmm.
Carcinoma in the stomach. Take out part of his stomach. I told him he still had cancer inside his body. I couldn't get every, you know, cell, and that he mm-hmm. needed further treatment. He said, no. I said, what do you mean, no? It's springtime. Going to go home, make the world beautiful, so when I die, I'll leave a beautiful world. And mm-hmm. he left the office. 6 years later,
well,
my nurse handed me his chart.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he's dead. We must have two people with the same name.
Mm.
She said, open the door, Bernie. So I opened the door.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's that John. Hi, I have a hernia from lifting boulders in my landscape business. Well, I can tell you, he became my therapist. Because if I spend a day with him out in nature, I went home feeling wonderful, and
mm-hmm.
I spoke at his 70th wedding anniversary to mm-hmm. tell people what a wonderful person and couple they were, and he died sometime in his 90s, but mm-hmm. That was the thing also I began to learn, you know, and mm-hmm. I would not have a problem saying to people, how come you didn't die when you were supposed to? And they always had a story to tell you. And that's try to get that point across to everybody that it's the story, you know, the change in your life. Yeah.
Well, we need to take our next break, Bernie. So everyone stay with us. We'll be back more with Dr. Bernie Siegel and Dr. Bill Sears.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. And we are talking with Bill Sears, Dr. Bill Sears. And over to you, Bernie. And Bill, you're going to explain a little bit about the science behind everything. And I have to say, I love, Dr. Bill, I love the pharmacy inside of all of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, well, and I learned that the pharmacy inside of us, I always thought that the creator of the greatest machine ever made, the human body, now that creator knew that we humans are going to mess it up by how we eat, live, and think. So naturally,
yes,
the creator would put inside our body a pharmacy that makes us all medicines. So I spent an evening with a doctor, Dr. Lou Ignaro, who won the Nobel Prize for discovering that the lining of our blood vessels is where our internal pharmacy actually is, and it spews out medicines all day long, as long as we take care of it. And then another thing I learned, I thought some of the things that Dr. Bernie was talking about healing, people heal better when they go outside and we look at the sunshine and all this. So I was over giving a lecture in Japan when I realized that the Nippon University had a whole department that studied the effects of movement outdoors on the mind and the immune system. And what they did is they took people who were healing from various mental and physical conditions, and they took them into the woods or up in a mountain, and they wired them up with fancy technology, windows to the brain that would show what's going on inside the brain, and they drew blood from them and all before and after a half-hour walk in the woods. And lo and behold, they found that after a half-hour walk in the woods, their stress hormones went down, their level of stress hormones went down. But the fascinating thing is the level and the fighting ability of their immune system, the natural killer cells, the ones that really go out and get cancer, the natural killer cells went up in number and fighting ability after a half-hour walk in the woods. So there is a lot of science behind this. This is not, as Americans would say,
right,
foo-foo. You know, something really does go on inside the body to help yourself heal by a good old walk in the woods.
Yeah, well, my problem was, when I started doing this back in the 1980s, everybody said, you're crazy. Where do you have research to prove this? Because nobody believed what I was saying,
yeah.
So nobody would give me money. I mean it, the Natural Cancer Society.
Now there's so much research out there.
Nobody would give me a dollar to do a study with because you're crazy. That can't be true. Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, and I tell people, you want to have some fun, go out with a bunch of friends and take a walk in the morning and start walking faster, and then say, oh, it feels so good to be making my own medicines. I'm demarginating my white blood cells. I'm getting my anti-cancer army moving. And they look at you, what's going on? You know, and then I say, well, show them the picture that when you move, the number of white cells that go around and fight the germs and cancer, they go way up in number and fighting ability just by a good old brisk walk.
And, you know, so many things are scientific now that weren't before. You know, life is really quite a mystery. I've had a near-death experience, you know, when I was 3 years old. So I had a very open mind to the craziness of life and what went on. And let me say this, just people want to tell everybody that I'm crazy, fine. I have an angel. I met him in a meditation. And then I began to realize somebody else was giving my lectures. I would get up on the podium and not pay any attention to my outline. And people started coming up and telling me, oh, there was a man standing in front of you for the entire lecture, so I drew his picture for you. And
wow.
That was George. And Alga Worrell, a mystic, and she's written many books with her husband. After I spoke at a Christian funeral, said to me one day, that day of the funeral when everybody was leaving, Bernie, are you Jewish? I said, what are you asking me that for? I spoke at a Christian funeral? No, there's a rabbi standing next to you. And it was George, and she saw him. And I've heard his voice, especially when I was out jogging. I don't have time to tell you stories, but I can tell you, my father died laughing. Because George asked me, how did your parents meet? Do you know? I said, I don't. And he said, then ask your mother when you get to the hospital. The answer was, your father lost a coin toss and got me. And my father died laughing because of all the stories my mother was telling. And you know, those are not coincidences. And one more. I never stopped talking, I know.
Yeah.
But Harvard student of the students, did your parents love you? Answer yes or no. They said yes. By middle age, 24% had suffered a major illness. If they said no, 98% had suffered a major illness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's what you're teaching us.
Yeah. Another little tip too, Bernie, on that's like I give my patients. I love your analogy on drawing. I give my patients a drawing of a big hand, and I say, you have the five tools to help heal yourself from cancer in your hand. I'll spread out your five fingers. Number one, believe you will heal. Number two, move more, sit less. Movement mobilizes your immune system.
Right.
Number three, eat the 5S Conquer Cancer Diet. Seafood, salads, smoothies, smart supplements, and smart snacking. Four, share. Share smart. Get involved. If you help another person heal, you help yourself heal. And then also sleep smart. We didn't talk about sleep. But what our patients don't realize, Ernie, is when you sleep, your immune system reports for night shift duty. So that's when it cleans house. I look at sleep as like your brain's dishwasher. Like you put a dirty dish in the dishwasher at night, it comes out clean in the morning.
Hey.
So sleep is so important to teach our patients, especially those healing from major illness like cancer. So their night shift, the Conquer Cancer Army night shift, does their job better when they sleep better.
And I'm feeling a lot less guilt now that you've said all that.
Yeah. We talked about the helper's high. Now, at the end of this program, I'm sure you'll feel the same way. I'll put the phone down, and I'll sit down, I'll take a deep breath and a smile, and I'll have a high dose of the helper's high, because one or two or maybe 100 or 200 people who listen to your program, our program today, will heal better and hope better and have tools, self-help tools, to help themselves heal because of what we said on our program. So that's how you and I get helpers high from programs like this.
I just noticed something. Bill Sears, the initials are BS, and Bernie Siegel, the initials are BS.
Right. Yeah, I won't go any further than that.
But no, it you have no idea what a gift this is to me to be on a program with you as my guest. You know, as I said, I was doing it in the 1980s when I was being yelled at, you know. Yeah, I got on some wonderful, I remember being on Oprah, you know, and she called me, would you like to come on my program? I thought, this is great, we'll get the message out. Yeah, I show up, there's six doctors there telling me I'm an idiot, you know, for all the things I'm doing. I realized what Oprah loves is to have an exciting show. She doesn't care whether people believe me or not. But I'll tell you who did. Phil Donahue went to his program. He said, bring some cancer patients. So I brought three women with cancer with me. We flew out there. I got to the studio, and I start to go up on the stage. He says, no, Bernie, sit down in the audience. And he put the three women with cancer on the stage.
Ooh.
And boy, did I give him credit. He knew.
Yes,
they were my
teachers. That was smart.
They were showing us how to survive. Yeah.
Yeah. That was smart.
You know, when you're sharing that, their stories and what you've learned. You become a coach.
We're coaches.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And also humor. I don't know. We haven't talked about that much. But don't lose your sense of humor.
Oh, yes.
You make people laugh. Everybody loves you. My wife had a small breast cancer. She had everything. And it became my therapy to realize I could keep her alive. Because, you know, I mentioned she had, when she was, we had the twins, she developed multiple sclerosis. She was exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And the neurologist tells me when she's going to die and I'm going to have all these kids to take care of. Well, she didn't die. You know, she lived to be 88, I think it was. And
multiple sclerosis. Yeah, we have a book called
humor.
The Healthy Brain Book.
Yeah,
and a lot of that is the brain above all other systems in the body. The brain is like your CEO of
That's
your conquered cancer army.
She had that kind of outlook.
A healthy brain.
Well, when she went to get, you know, the breast cancer, it was a small lesion, so it wasn't major surgery. But she sits down. The anesthesiologist comes in. He knows me. He wants to be, you know, nice to her. And she looked up at him and said, my, what a handsome fellow. Well, the guy melted because I had a good-looking wife. And, you know, it was like they went on a date. I mean it. They're both talking to each other, having a wonder. Finally, I gave a yell, hey! And they look at me, what? She came here for surgery, not a date.
Well, you know, you mentioned humor.
Oh, they both look, oh, sorry. But
that's how
don't
I met
forget
my wife.
Humor
I met my wife
in your
at the
work.
Bedside.
My wife.
I met my wife at the bedside of a cardiac arrest patient.
Yeah.
And we talk about humor, and also humor and song. And I still sing the song to my wife. I while walking on the ward one day in a merry, merry month of May, I saw a pair of pretty eyes, took me by surprise while walking on the ward one day. You know, so we sing songs and we laugh about how we met and all that. So you're right, humor and music together.
We should do a show on
very
our lives.
Healing.
You know, because
absolutely.
One of the things that was wonderful, I was always passing information on to other, you know, women that I'd learned mm-hmm. from my wife about survival. Because one of the things, for instance, I was just very angry, yelling in the kitchen. And my wife walks in and says, "You're so handsome when you're angry."
Oh, wow.
That was the end of the anger. And I tell that to all the women.
That was a great dose
of
medicine.
Yeah, when your husband's bellowing, say, "You're so handsome." And
this is a great way of ending the show, doctors, yeah. but we have to go. And I want to
have one more minute.
No, it's beyond. We already did an extra minute. I'm sorry, okay. Bernice.
So, I was just going to add some humor. But,
yes. Well, and everyone listening, tune in again and to hear more Dr. Bernie and his amazing guests. And until then, bye for now.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.